You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene
Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Doctor Who After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Doctor Who After Show.
Hey guys, Bing is for doing, and we are here doing another episode of Doctor Who. This time, we are doing the Christmas special, The Snowman. Yeah. I'm very excited about this. Sorry guys that it took us so long, but it was Christmas and
we weren't working. That we're doing this on the night of the Golden Globes.
Yeah. We just didn't want to wait any longer, and also we may have forgotten that it was
the Golden Globes.
Yes.
Just a little bit.
So we thank any of you guys who are watching tonight. We thank you, and we are glad you were ignoring an award show to talk about Doctor Who.
Exactly, but good on you. Priorities, people.
Well, Doctor Who's much cooler.
Yes.
Okay.
Much cooler. Ice cold, perhaps.
Ooh.
Like some snow.
Let the puns?
Let the puns fly.
Fall. Each one an individual thing of beauty.
I like the buns better.
Okay,
buns. Okay, let's talk about this. First of all, how much do we love Clara? B,
so much!
It's really obnoxious how much I love this chick.
Yes. Yeah.
And how exciting is that she's still Oswin? What is she? Mm. The Great Intelligence? We don't know.
We don't know.
She is the girl who's twice dead.
Yes.
It's kind of cool. Okay, so,
Isn't that what it is? The legend of the girl who's twice dead?
Yes. Yeah, and I think it's interesting because some of the interviews that I'd read with her a while back where she was saying, well, like, everything she was saying, I thought some of it was misdirection about you don't really know if I'm Oswin or not. I'm not going to say. But, like, now if you read it, you're like,
Oh, you sneaky thing. She is already, can we also compliment just, she is already perfected in terms of interviews, the art of the tease. Which, you know, Jenna and I, we interview people. And, like, if you have not perfected the art of the tease, it can be very dull.
Yes.
You know, because they'll just say, like, I can't say.
Yeah.
No, say something that makes us titillated and excited. And exactly. Yeah, nothing away. Mm-hmm.
And then we will write something about you.
Exactly.
This is an early prediction.
Tell
she's going to be my favorite companion ever.
Oh, I thought you had a prediction about
what. Oh, no. Like, that's the wonderful thing about this is it's absolutely none of the possibilities that I had thought of. I didn't think anything like this could have been possible. So I legitimately have no clue. Like, I assume it's going to be the modern-day Clara who travels with the Doctor for the rest of it. But what if she dies in every episode?
She's Kenny, people.
Oh, my God.
She is Kenny.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. They've killed Clara.
Again.
Well, here's the thing is, I think if they just have it be, you know, that she's the modern-day and then she travels with the Doctor, I'll be kind of disappointed, to be honest. I also don't want her to die every single episode because that does get rather silly pretty quickly. But I want her to be this thing, as they've promised, unlike anything we've seen before.
Yes.
You know, I mean, there's the mystery of, like, this. What was that? Let's talk about the Great Intelligence.
Okay.
I don't think it exists.
I don't.
Sorry. Sorry, there's no way to resist
that. What is your take on that and how it relates to Clara, if at all?
Well, I'm not sure if it necessarily relates to Clara. I know it is an old villain from the classic series. There was an episode. I believe it wasn't just the snowmen, but it did involve snowmen.
Okay.
It showed up twice in the classic series. What's interesting to me is that the Doctor acted almost as if he hadn't encountered them before when he had, and he made a reference to the London Underground, which was used in, I believe, the second episode that the Great Intelligence was involved in. I don't think they're necessarily related, but it could provide an interesting link between these different consciences.
That's what it felt like to me. It felt like to me that they are related. It felt like to me that maybe they're even two sides of a coin or something like that. Because I don't think that Moffat would have introduced something that high concept if he's just going to let that be a villain of the week.
Especially if it's a classic villain that he's dusting off for the first time.
Right. And I mean, there is the thing about, and we can get into this with predictions. I liked your dusting movement. That was really good.
Yeah.
But like, as we get towards the 50th anniversary and all of the people who are coming back or not coming back, I think it would be interesting if that's when all of this stuff comes up again.
Because
she feels like to me, like the girl who's twice dead, she feels like to me an entity rather than just being sort of like reincarnated every so often and I happen to run into her.
Yeah.
She feels like to me like an entity because she seemed to have some awareness of her unique nature.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Do you remember, Roth was here for it, but the episode City of Death that we watched, just to give you a bit of a recap, Scaroff was a Jaggeroth, was an alien who at the dawn of time, or at least at the dawn of Earth, his ship exploded and basically created life on Earth, but his consciousness was split across time.
Right.
So he was existing at the same time in seven different time periods.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be something like that where Clara somehow has been split across time and these different versions of her are dying.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's possible, certainly. I mean, I would just say this, that there seems to me that it's not just going to be that the modern version shows up and that's that.
Yeah.
I think it will play out, which makes me happy because, like I had said, I'd miss some of the serialized elements of the show. But he has promised that it's going to continue to be these movie poster episodes. We've talked about this before for the remainder of the season. So I think he's going to be able to bridge that gap a little bit.
We've got a modern day technological thriller.
We have a ghost story in the Cybermen. It sounds like that Neil Gaiman has combined the Cybermen with a ghost. Or actually, is the ghost story not right before the Cybermen?
No, it is the Cybermen episode. It's the 12th episode of the season before the 50th anniversary episode. We're also going to get a cracking great detective story featuring Madame Vastra and Jenny and Strax.
I love them.
Wait a minute. Jenny, here's the other thing, you guys. Doesn't everybody sort of reunite in the 50th episode? I was looking and it looked like they popped back in the 50th episode.
Did they show has it been confirmed that any of the footage shown in that tease of the upcoming season, that any of that was from the 50th anniversary episode?
Well, I looked online and it listed the episode, and this could be incorrect because the internet is never wrong, obviously.
What are you talking about? The internet is always right.
The internet is messing with my brain.
Right. But it listed the episodes that they were in, and it had Strax and Jenny in the, and I believe Mrs. Vestra as well in the finale. Now, again, could be inaccurate. I don't know. But it seems like it's going to be a massive monster mash.
Yeah. I'd just like to point out the Father Wizard just said everyone named Jenna is adorbs.
Aww.
But also he said the doctor he also said the doctor said the name of the great intelligence and rang a bell at Clara's funeral. The Geek Matt would like to know who we want to see in the 50th.
The finale, it says that Riversong is popping up too in the finale for sure.
Yeah.
And I know that some people have issues with Riversong, but I like her.
I like her too.
And she's crucial to this version of the show.
Yeah.
If you're going to have, whether you like her or not, she's part of canon. She's part of the history.
Yeah.
And, you know, giving the Doctor a proper romantic foil was a big, big leap for the show. Other than in Doctor Who, the movie, that hasn't really, or Rose really for that matter.
Rose.
But outside of the companion relationship.
But Rose and he and Rose never hit it.
That's true.
That's a very good point.
Hope that as a married couple,
Human Doctor and Rose probably hit it.
They probably hit it.
Yeah.
They probably hit it. But
I mean, could you be her and not hit it?
No. Obviously not.
No.
But you hope that being married that he and Riversong have hit it. Let me ask you a question as a woman, Jenna.
Yes.
I think this will create an interesting dynamic because
the flirting
and yes,
the nonstop flirting,
yes,
the
because
kiss and the chemistry behind
and the
that
chemistry.
Kiss
because they have this explosive Matt Smith and Jenna Louise Coleman have this explosive chemistry. Explosive. It's just there, you know?
Yeah.
And then it's in the characters. The kisses happen. So when River Song pops back in,
she's not going to be happy. I'm just saying, she's going to be pissed off because.
Jilted spouse.
Ooh, jilted. No, yeah. Hell yeah. Hath no fury.
I know.
A woman scorned. But let me say this. He kissed the dead Oswin.
Mm-hmm.
The other one's not going to know that they ever kissed.
He's kissing the hell out of
which
her.
Is a
we,
really...
No, we don't know that.
Yeah.
We don't know that.
Because it could come back up. There could be new, you know.
But it's a very interesting way to start off a potential romantic pairing who, I mean, obviously in the 50th anniversary episode, I would love to see an appearance of a past doctor. I know that it's difficult to pull off. And that the explanation for it will likely be such garbage. Like, there's no way to explain it properly. But who I really, really want to see in the 50th, I would like to see the new Master. Now, I heard a rumor over the break.
That it was Benedict Cumberbatch?
No, that it was that John Sim was coming back.
I'm kidding.
That John Sim... I know. But, like, I mean, how awesome would that be? But I know it won't be.
It won't be.
That would be wonderful.
He's very busy.
But since the show is now bigger than it's ever been, I want to see what level caliber actor they can get to play the Master.
Yeah.
And what Moffat's Master looks and sounds like.
Well, you know, it would be sort of interesting because obviously Moffat is the showrunner on Sherlock as well.
Yeah.
I mean, I wonder, but they just had to reschedule Sherlock because Benedict Cumberbatch is so in demand right now. He had so many...
I demand him
every day. Mm-hmm. He had so many scheduling conflicts. But I mean, now that I've said it, I'm like, well, maybe it is possible. I mean, it's the same showrunner.
It's one episode.
Come on, Cumberbatch.
Cumberbatch, I'm putting you on blast. You know you want to do it.
You know, okay?
Sherlock needs more fans on this side of the pond.
Mm-hmm.
We want to give it that Emmy that it so richly deserves. You got Rod for Scandal in Belgravia. Get on the show, and then all these people are going to come with you.
Well, here's the thing about Cumberbatch, too. Like, if you don't know him, if you haven't watched Sherlock, if you haven't seen him, you don't know that this, like, very sweet little face has this really deep voice and is super sexy. So I think it would help
but
Sherlock,
that,
just saying.
That cold, brilliant malevolence would be so good.
Oh, yeah.
And it would lead so nicely into Star Trek.
Wouldn't it?
Let's talk about the episode a little bit, too. I mean, I think one of the things that was interesting is that this episode felt like it was structured. I mean, I thought the plot line was cool and sort of interesting, and the villain was fun and sort of interesting. But it really, to me, felt like it was but they really wanted to deal with this relationship of the Doctor and Clara. They really, like, that was sort of stitched together. Yeah.
I would say
rather loosely.
I would say more so than any Christmas special since. It's the most like the Christmas Invasion, where it really was, it was an episode in canon that just happened to take place on Christmas.
Yeah. Right.
And happened to have kind of a fairy tale feel, you know, the TARDIS up in the clouds with this beautiful staircase.
That was really cool.
Fantastic. You know, it definitely had that fairy tale feel Moffat loves in his Christmas specials to make them feel like a bedtime
like
story.
Like a Christmas bedtime story.
But I would say...
Slash noir detective novel.
Yes. But I would say that the overarching plot and the villain especially were really the weakest elements of the piece.
It was.
Absolutely.
It was.
But,
and Jenna Louise
Although
Coleman
the ice
was just
nanny.
So strong. Oh my God.
The ice
governess is the best part. I remember I tweeted... I was like, oh shit, governess! Like, she's back! It was so funny.
Mary Poppins, she ain't.
No, she ain't.
She ain't at all.
Governesses are terrifying.
Yeah.
I think the idea of governesses are terrifying, you know, but I
and
don't.
Matrons.
And matrons. Oh, like, anything. There's something like about that that seems inherently creepy, but then you think of Jane Eyre and she was very nice.
It's true. Well, the thing that really that I loved about it was, Madame Fastra and Jenny.
And
Strax.
Oh,
so funny.
Yes.
Oh,
so good.
Good evening.
Good evening. I'm a lizard woman from the dawn of time, and this is my wife.
That
made me
line
so happy.
Made me so damn happy.
Oh my God.
She just doesn't give an F, you know.
She doesn't,
like, love her.
She doesn't care at all. And like, my favorite part is just that, like, she operates and nobody is like, she operates in public. Nobody catches on. Nobody seems to care.
And that's the thing that can sort of happen in the Doctor Who world. The fact that, like, not only is she a lizard woman from the dawn of time traipsing around London willy nilly, but she's married to a woman and nobody cares.
Yeah.
like, you can't even marry, like,
with
sadly,
a potato man.
You can't even do that today.
Strax just
actually, I don't know what the, what is the law in Britain?
I have no idea, actually.
I think it might be legal, actually, in Britain.
But I don't think it was then.
Yeah.
So much more forward than us, Britain.
But I love that Strax just exists in broad daylight, and people are just like, oh, he's just an ugly guy.
Yeah.
He's just a really, really ugly, deformed
Strax
dude.
He's so damn
he's
funny.
He's so lucky to be employed.
Like, I love that Strax's answer to everything is grenades.
I know. And he's the potato thing.
Oh, and that scene with the memory worm was so funny.
Oh, my God.
Now we're just being silly.
I know, but
help, sir. I've been attacked by a cart. A carriage. I've been run over.
It's just the thing about that, though, is that it was, well, you've, all right, so you've got your story. You've got this big dramatic thing going on with the doctor and Clara, and it's so freaking funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, so, but she's, and I think, you know, we know that this is why she got the job. And it's funny if you think about, like, the storyline with the Pawns. You know, she is really funny. I think that Amy was funny, but had always more of an edge to her.
Right.
Yeah.
She had a really traumatized childhood, as we know.
It's true. Her parents were sucked into a crack in the
exactly.
wall.
Her parents were sucked into a crack in the wall. She was living with that monster beast unbeknownst to her. The doctor abandoned her. It was rough. On
it was
Amy.
Roof stoof
on Amy. But Clara, there's a real lightness to her.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, even the fact that, even though she's dying all the time, but there's a lightness to her and like,
a mischief.
And a mischief.
Here's what I would say. These are the two words that came to my mind when I watched this episode, and I hope that this dynamic carries out throughout the rest of her run.
Yes, please.
Screwball comedy.
Yes.
Yeah, it did feel like
it
that.
It felt like Nick and Nora Charles.
Yep, totally.
The thin man or Bringing Up Baby or something like that.
Yep.
And Madame Vastra and Strax and Jenny, I think, fit right into that light, playful, zippy.
What about It Happened One Night?
Ooh.
A little bit of that. Thank you.
Nice.
Nice pull.
Let's not forget that.
But no, I was thinking the same thing. I was thinking, oh, this is like very 40s kind of.
Yeah, it was. And I do hope that it sort of I think that you have to evolve that a little bit in order to, and I think that Moffat, one of the things that I'm just going to pick up everything.
Yes. You just keep playing with coasters.
I'm going to play with the coasters for no good reason. I think that one of the things that I really like about Moffat is that he does have that little bit of a dark edge to him that I appreciate. I am in the dark space of the three of us, so that we know Matt is now light and fuzzy.
He is light and fluffy Matt now.
My if I were to die in the pond, and it would come out looking a lot like the governess if it would happen today.
Oh, God.
Oh, snap.
All right. This is like
would hate Ice Roth. Ice Roth is terrifying.
I'm a little scared of Ice Roth.
Ice Roth would rip us to pieces while telling us all about some kind of android theory and then explaining how women's rights are going to work in an all-robot planet. That is my nightmare. Ice Roth is my nightmare.
No, now I kind of want to see Ice Roth.
That's a really apt description of the space I'm in.
Exactly.
I really want to see Ice Roth, but I don't want
a planet of robots. You know that?
Yes.
That's where we're headed.
That's
right now.
Where we're all headed.
Right. Thank you, Siri. We are.
I'm so amused because last time we were all together.
Yeah.
Dark Matt was here.
I know.
Dark Matt was here.
But
then he got laid.
That is.
Let's applaud that as well.
Don't applaud it. You stop that right now.
No,
okay?
Totally applauding it.
I need to remain relatable to our audience. Okay? Look, that's not what's important here. What's important is that Ice Me then would have likely been angry. Now Ice Me would probably make you guys breakfast.
I think that Ice You now would just be going for all the women. You'd be the guy in like the Blues Brothers. How much for your women, your daughter? How much? Blues Brothers, nobody, just me?
I've seen
the Blues Brothers. I do not remember that part.
Well, if I were Ice Jenna, I would be doing Snoopy snow cone machines and make you all slushies.
Aww. I love snow cones.
Me too.
And slushies.
Apparently, if we were all ice people right now, we would be living on it would be Why the Last Man on Earth. And the last man.
Oh my God,
man,
I love Why the Last Man.
I think it should be a TV show. Anyway, other discussion. It would be robot Why the Last Man on Earth with like a very feminist undertone, and the last man would be Matt having all of the women. And
I don't want that kind of responsibility. I'm going to say that right now. Yes. No, I don't.
You do.
If there are two men left on Earth, and it's between me and another dude, and it's all women, give it to that dude, okay? I know. You're looking at me like I'm lying, but I'm completely serious. That is way too much pressure, because then I'd be dad to all the kids.
Oh, there's that.
They'd all have to be little versions of me, and they would be so neurotic that we would be doomed.
We would all be doomed. Don't worry, because it's my ice planet, and I've got it well in hands, Matt.
Okay.
I will parent the children.
Okay.
My ice people will parent the children.
I will take care of the pets.
And you will give them the ice cream.
I will give them the ice cream.
The geek Matt just tweeted one of my favorite lines from the snowman. I'm the clever one. You're the potato one.
That line so much. It's so cute.
Yes. I could not be happy with this episode, really. I mean, like we've said, our little criticism is probably that maybe the things that were stitching together Clara and the Doctor were sometimes a little bit on the weaker side, but they weren't that weak. I mean, the snowman had their charm, and what I liked about it was him bringing in this idea of, and he's done this before, it's like this very, you know, the secret idea of your thoughts creating, as we've just been discussing with our ice planet, our very frightening ice planet, your thoughts create your reality, kind of an idea. But he does it in this way that it's able to bring in this fantastical, whimsical monster.
Yeah.
Whimsical monster.
Voiced by Ian McKellen.
Yes.
Voiced by Ian McKellen. Thank you very much.
That was so... Oh, I would listen to him say anything all day long.
And that was the cool thing about the great intelligence too, is that it was its awareness of itself. You know what I mean? That was so interesting to me. That idea was interesting to me.
And it's interesting that since the Doctor and the great intelligence have squared off before, the great intelligence didn't recognize the Doctor either, which means that this likely, this episode exists in the
It's like a reboot.
Well, no, in the great intelligence's timeline.
Right.
This is before, this is the first time they've ever met.
How is that? Wait.
I don't know.
I know.
Wibbly wobbly things are happening. Yeah. Wait, that's...
You know what? It could be the Doctor was erased from time, so that's why
it could be that.
Right.
Yeah, or it could be that Moffat is just simply choosing to ignore the fact that
that's
been
true.
In
canon.
That's
true, and he has freedom to do it. He runs the show.
Okay, so...
You can do what you want, Moffat. It's your ice world.
Yes.
We like his ice world. So Steve Saylor just said, nice twist that a companion can die twice before becoming a companion. Want to know how? Yes.
Yes.
We all want to know now. That is the question, isn't it?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But again, I don't think, I think she exists, I think she's almost like a fourth dimensional being. Do you know what I mean? Like she, you know, the Doctor is still in some ways beholden
loosely,
but he's still beholden to the laws of space and time. What are you giggling about?
Sorry, because Father Wizard just said Ice Roth and Fuzzy Matt is the name of an AM morning show in Helena, Montana. I'm sorry, that's why I was laughing.
That's really funny. That's really, really funny.
Anyway. Beholden to the laws of space.
He's beholden to the laws of space and time. Keep it together, ladies. This is Doctor Who. This is serious business.
This is the kind of pressure you're going to be under as the last man on my ice robot planet.
Jesus Christ.
I know. You're going to have to keep wrangle all
of us. No, I have to make some kind of like split second decisions about life and death decisions that also involve me personally.
Why? Hey, let me ask you a big question here, but why on a planet full of women and you're the only man, would you think you have any control at all?
That's a very good point.
Make any decisions.
Because I'm the only one with a very different viewpoint. With a very, very different viewpoint. And
nice try.
Because I'm a precious commodity.
Right, that we own and control.
Pretty much, yeah.
See? Yeah. And you wonder why I'm not thrilled about the idea.
This
you make
Ross
it sound so fun.
In any event, I liked you'll have a good time on my ice planet. Don't worry about it, Matt.
Okay, let's get back to the show.
Back to the show. I did like the. I don't think that she is. I think she stands outside of those rules. I don't know how yet, but I think that there's some way, and for some reason, she's just. And maybe there's the reason that there's that break in continuity. I mean, maybe this really is its own thing.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
That's a good idea.
But yeah, I don't think she's beholden, which is going to open up so many possibilities. Yeah. Now, I think a lot of people complained that it got confusing with River Song and they're matching the diaries. And I feel like this is another sort of high concept that could get confusing.
Yeah, it could.
But it could also be awesome and engaging. Yeah.
Here's what I think. I think that this season, because it's they're trying to play it simpler, they're going to resolve some of those threads this year.
Yeah.
And maybe,
yeah.
maybe, just maybe, the thrust of the 50th anniversary episode is it's the it's the last River episode.
Oh, that's true. Yeah,
it's
maybe.
Entirely possible because she's getting older. You know,
mm-hmm. yeah.
And, like, she can't regenerate anymore.
Well, let me.
She died in that body.
She died in the library. I mean, and we still have to kind of have that resolve as well.
Right.
Unless that we're somehow going to get back. And that's just not possible. I mean, she died in the library, so we have to figure out how that happens for her.
Unless the intelligence that saved, unless we're doing a bot again.
Yeah. yeah.
You know, the intelligence that saved in there is now in a new body.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, I think.
Here, let me throw this at you guys.
Throw it.
What if the great intelligence is River Song?
Well, that's possible.
After she died in the library and her intelligence was saved on the library planet, somebody freed it and put it in a giant computer.
Except that
and it's a half.
This is Roth's worst nightmare.
It is mm-hmm. because it's what's happening with Siri, but it doesn't seem to totally fit River Song's personality.
I know, but you know what? You spend 10,000 years stuck in a computer.
You might go a little mad sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I think really what it is, just in practical terms, yeah. I think that these days, especially in a show like Doctor Who, there's far more of a conversation between the show creators and the viewership.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think the conversation for a long time, although I haven't necessarily agreed with it, is that people weren't really happy with River Song and they weren't really happy with that relationship and they don't think that they suit. You know, and mm-hmm. I think that he's going to try to find an elegant way to remove her from the equation of the show and give him an opportunity to have this other love interest.
Riverbot.
That's what it feels like to me.
One of the, what were the clones called when they were working with the acid? And
The gangers.
The gangers, yeah. Okay, so, I mean, it's possible we're going to put her in. I mean, just, I'm thinking recasting because I think that was, although I think, honestly.
But then how does Clara fit into that, though?
Yeah. Oh, I'm just saying in terms of River.
Yeah.
I think
she's
can.
Just going to go away.
I think she's going to go away. It's a phase of the show.
Yeah.
It's a phase of the show
yeah.
where we had this additional character, and I think she's going to go away. Let's talk about the Doctor for a second.
Dark Doctor
mm-hmm. is his state of mind. He's removed himself from humanity. An interesting choice of place to stay in Victorian
mm-hmm.
London
yeah.
for who knows how long. Did we get an age check in this episode? I don't think we did.
I don't think we got an age check in this
We know
episode.
That he's over 1,200 years old now.
Yeah.
We know
yeah.
that he's between 1,200 and potentially 1,300. He might be a little older than that. You know, he's removed himself from society. And then, of course, we have that great scene with Clara and Madame Vastra,
mm-hmm.
the words sequence, the one-word test.
Okay.
Oh, I loved that.
Okay.
yeah, here
I
we go.
Loved. Wait. I loved the idea of that test. I kind of want to take it one day.
Yeah.
You know, like, I just want to have that challenge. I thought that was, like, a very poetic and beautiful notion. I thought her saying pond was a little inelegant.
Okay.
I thought it didn't totally, to me, make sense that she, you know, that she would, that would be necessarily the one word that she would come up, that she would come up with
right.
Right.
to convince him.
I think it was fan-based baiting.
Sure.
You know? It was
oh,
something
yeah, totally.
That people would squee over
yeah.
and then eventually forget about.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so too.
But I do find the idea of that test kind of amazing, and I'm going to come up with some ways to put you two
oh, dear
to
God.
That challenge.
I'm down for the challenge. I don't think we can fit it into this show.
Snow cones is always going to be my answer.
Maybe the first one back. Snow cones is going to
yeah,
be
yeah, and
for
like
everything.
From the Snoopy snow cone machine, like there's a dash, so
no,
it is technically
you
one word.
Have an explanation.
Well, I know, but I'm just explaining why
yeah,
it's one word.
Oh,
and not
right. it's one word.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Words.
Words.
Oh no! In the snow cone machine, there is a dash.
Words.
Mm-hmm. Words.
Oh dear God, guys, we're gonna need to wrap up soon. So let's do a little prediction.
Yes, let's.
And now your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
I guess we're sort of combining this with news because we have been sort of predicting.
Yeah,
the whole time.
We really have. You start.
Okay. I think that we've got this big Clara Oswin mystery to solve. I know we're starting in modern day. We've got a few things off-world. We've got some stuff in the past. I know we're going to see
Madame Vostra and Jenny and Strax again, which is really, really exciting and fun. I love the new TARDIS, and I think we're going to see some parts of older TARDISes show up in the Journey to the Center of the TARDIS mm-hmm. episode, kind of like how in The Doctor's Wife we saw the 9 and 10 mm-hmm. TARDIS interior. I would love to see the wood panel TARDIS return from Tom Baker years. And I think in the last episode of the season, we're getting the David Tennant cameo. I think we're going to get it.
I think we are too.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to get it. I wish we could have conclusive proof that we weren't going to get it so that it would shock me when we do get it,
He was having, there was an interview where they were having dinner, and I think that they keep in touch, Moffat and Tennant.
Yeah.
And talking about the monsters this season and, and also Jenna Louise Coleman said that there's a monster this season that's new, that's her favorite one. Even more than the angels. She won't say what it is, but we have that to look forward to. There was something about just the fact, I was like, okay, fine, they keep in touch, they're good friends, but they're pretty busy guys.
Yeah.
What I mean? If they're having dinner, it's also business, probably. Mm-hmm. I have no idea, but this is what I'm making up because I want the David Tennant cameo. And
I do
think that we are going to get that. I do not think that Clara will die every week. I think it's just too silly.
Yeah.
It's just too silly for her to die every single week. But I also don't think that it's just going to be contemporary Clara and that's it.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. I don't think it's just going to be contemporary Clara. There has to be a little bit more to it. I did want to mention something here because on the Mary Sue, which is a site that I really do like, their five classic doctors are returning for the Doctor Who's 50th anniversary radio show.
Oh.
So we're going to have Tom Baker, Peter Davidson, Colin Baker, Sylvester McCoy, Paul McGann, and it's the Big Finish audio drama Doctor Who, The Light at the End. We're also going to have a bunch of companions. We're getting Leela, Nyssa, Perry, Ace, and Charlie.
Harry's back.
Uh-huh.
Let's go and kill
So just thought I'd throw that out there. And I also do want to mention that they're releasing all these famous children's authors are doing short stories based on Doctor Who.
I know the Artemis Fowl authors mm-hmm, doing
whose
one.
Name I can't pronounce.
Yeah.
So that one, and it's going to be one a month. So that
I
one's out.
I heard that J.K. Rowling was doing one.
That's the rumor. Nobody really knows yet.
Okay.
But it is I hope so.
I will purchase and read the crap out of that.
I also would do this.
Well, it's the releasing one story a month and then they're going to release it as one book
right.
of
yeah.
short stories.
Right.
Okay, well, I want JK.
Me too.
I mean, these are some wonderful authors, but I'm not going to lie, I crashed a wedding for that seventh Harry Potter novel
mm-hmm.
that happened.
I stood around with a lot of children.
mm-hmm. Okay.
In costume.
Good to know.
Not weird at all.
No.
Oh.
All right.
With a snow cone for everyone.
And on my ice planet, you can expect to immerse yourself in Harry Potter 2.
Boo!
I want to live on your ice planet a little bit. I'm just saying.
I don't, and I think we should leave it there.
Alrighty then. All right, guys. So thank you for joining us. Make sure you go to iTunes and rate us well, please, and leave us nice comments, and we will comment back at you. You can find me on Twitter at Jenna Bush, BUSCH, like the beer, not the president. You can find Cocktails with Stan on YouTube.com/World of Heroes, and I write lots of stuff for Fanhattan.com.
You can find me on Twitter at I changed my Twitter name. Forgive me. I am Roth Cornett, ROTHCORNET on Twitter. And you can find my work on IGN, where I am an entertainment editor.
All right. You can find me on Twitter at Matt Lieberman, MattLieberman. If you love live comedy and you're in the Los Angeles area, I host a live free improv show every Woo! Friday night called Danger Room at 8801 Cassio Street from 8 to 10:30 p.m. I also do sketch comedy. If you love sketch comedy, go to, it's called Viewers Like You TV on YouTube.
Sweet.
Yes. Woo!
Yes.
Woo. All right, guys. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.